Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of the United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem's worship is at 8:30 and California's is at 10:30. Please join us in person or you can catch us online at our website. We continue our sermon series, Everyday People, that focuses on the minor prophets. We'll look at the book of Zechariah this morning. It is the longest of the minor prophets. It is longer than the book of Daniel, which is considered a major prophet. Zechariah has more prophecies about Jesus than all the other minor prophets combined. It is a book that resembles Daniel in Revelation with all of his visions. One of his more famous passages is found in chapter 4, verse 6. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. We'll look at chapters 9 to 14 today. Zechariah uses the shepherd theme 11 times in his book. We'll look at lessons we can learn from the shepherd. We see the shepherd theme all through Scripture. Psalm 23, Ezekiel 34, and John 10, where Jesus calls himself the good shepherd. In chapter 9, verse 16, it says, "The Lord their God will save his people on that day as a shepherd saves his flock. They will sparkle in his land like a jewels in a crown." When we choose to follow Jesus, we become part of his flock, which means he is always on duty providing for us and protecting us from harm. It also means he knows our name and walks with us. In Zechariah 14:9, it says, "The Lord will be king over the whole earth. On that day there will be one Lord, and his name the only name." That is a consistent theme of the Old and New Testaments, that there will be a day when Jesus returns, and we better be ready. Are you ready for that day? If not, listen to today's message and respond to the voice of the Good Shepherd. May you feel God's grace and spirit in your life this week, and thank you for listening. Let's stand for our call to worship. Let us worship in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us.
Holly Beery leads our children's time in our Pentecost worship.
Good morning, friends. How is everyone today? Everyone good? Okay. What is your most special day of your whole year? Very favorite day of the whole year?
Fall.
Okay. Anybody have like a Christmas? Anything else?
Easter.
Those are all really special days, right? Did you guys know that today is a special day? What do you know what today is?
Pentecost
Sunday. So it's 50 days since Easter, right? It's Pentecost Sunday. So, do you guys know what Pentecost is? Have you ever heard of the word? You obviously have heard of the word because you know what today is. Do you guys know? Well, after Jesus died on the cross and went to heaven, God knew that his disciples were going to need some help. So he sent the Holy Spirit into their hearts so that they could remember that he was always with them. And so that they could be encouraged whenever they were going through some tough times, like maybe some scary times or some sad times. And with the Holy Spirit, those disciples were able to go around and they were able to teach lots and lots of people about Jesus and what he had done. And they were even able to start the first churches. So today, Pentecost is kind of like the birthday of the church. Right? Is your birthday a pretty special day?
Yeah.
Yeah? So today is a pretty special day for the church, right? So what's also really special about Pentecost and the Holy Spirit is that God also sent the Holy Spirit into our hearts. Did you know that? So that we can understand God's love for us, and so we can always remember he's with us, even if we're going through something that's scary or something that's sad. We can remember that God is always with us, right? So the Holy Spirit is a pretty special gift. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending the Holy Spirit into our hearts so that we may feel your love all the time, and also so that we might know you are always with us, even when we are scared or sad. Help us to listen to the Holy Spirit and to show people your love through our actions. In your name we pray. Amen.
Our senior choir sings their Pentecost anthem, "Spirit Come Down." Our scriptures this morning are read by Stacy Frederick, followed by Pastor Cobb's sermon based on the book of Joel. Everyday people, this is the day.
Our first lesson is from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Here ends the first lesson. The second lesson comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 17. "You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory."
Thank you, Stacy. Thank you, choir. Now, we're going to continue our look at the minor prophets. We are with one today that we don't know a lot about. The ones that we visited with, we've known a little bit about them. We've had a little insight on when they probably preached. Last Sunday night out at the cemetery, if you were there with us for a Memorial Day celebration, we talked about one prophet that had the heritage of a king. He came out of royalty. He was pretty famous. He was not everyday people. But the one we're talking about today is kind of an unknown. All we know is that his father was Pethuel. We don't know when he prophesied. We don't know what his hometown was. We don't know exactly what happened to him. But all we know is that he got to pronounce one of the greatest prophecies of all time. What we also know is that when a prophet gives a prophecy, the audience doesn't know, and they don't know at the time if it's something that's going to happen near in the future. Is it going to happen tomorrow? Is it going to happen next year? Is it going to happen years from now? Some of these prophecies that we don't see fulfilled until Jesus' birth and his life, hundreds of years in the future. The people of Joel's time never got to see the fulfillment of the prophecy that we're looking at today. In fact, some of his prophecy we haven't yet seen fulfilled yet, the great day of the Lord. I liked how Holly did the children's lesson this morning because I have a hard time waiting for big events, you know, special days. Thanksgiving is one of my favorite times of the year. I've told you that before. I get close to it. I start getting antsy, especially when we lived out of state and we didn't get to see some of the people except maybe once or twice a year, and that was a big time for us. And I would be on countdown, you know, 3 weeks from today, I'm going to be sitting at Uncle Frank and Aunt Betty's table. People that get out of the service, and we've got two of them that are coming home that are already home. One got home last night, Craig Hall and his family, and then Kyle Hofstetter and them are getting back at their place by lunch today back here at Scott and Jill's. I remember talking to Betty's grandpa when he was in World War II. I said, "You know, do you remember the day that you came home?" "Oh, yes. I remember the day I came home. He could remember everything about that day because he'd been looking forward to it so much. And I think about that way with the start of turkey season. I'm already in countdown mode for next year for turkey season because it's a short season. It don't last a long time, but man, it's one of my favorite times of the year. When we look at this prophecy here, it is the difference between eternity with God and eternity separated from God. This prophecy right here, until the time that, you know, in the Old Testament when Joel and the other prophets spoke, the Holy Spirit would only come upon certain people at certain times. It wouldn't stay, it would come and it would go. You saw it with Samson when he fought the Philistines. You saw it with David. You see it with the prophets Isaiah and Jeremiah, but it wasn't something that was available to everyone at any time. But Joel is looking to the future. He's telling the message, and this message is going to be fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. 50 days, like Holly said, from the start of Passover. From the time when they celebrated the Passover lamb to the time now they're celebrating the first of the harvest. They're bringing in the best of their produce and celebrating that time. People from all over the world. Jerusalem is full for this feast. And God picks this time to deliver and fulfill this one part of the prophecy. When we look in Joel chapter, it's only three chapters. I think all of us could accomplish three chapters in 1 week, but you'll see in chapter one is just a lot of talk about locusts coming to invade and devour the country. We get to chapter two and it talks about repentance. It seems there's always repentance with the prophets and their message. But then we get the end of chapter two, and it's the difference for me and for you and for everyone that comes to believe in the Lord. And look what he says there, starting with verse 28. We'll see it again in Acts chapter 2. And it says, "And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days." He says it's going to be for everyone. God's spirit is going to be available to everyone. Verse 30, "I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." That's part of the fulfillment that hasn't taken place yet. And then verse 32, "The promise that's been from then till now, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord had said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls." I don't know about you, but if I have to wait too long for something, I start to kind of lose hope in it, don't you? You know, some of us are kind of facing, you know, some things that we're looking forward to. Maybe it's retirement. Maybe it's the change of jobs. Maybe it's a vacation. One of the girls out at Salem this morning, I said, "Well, you got something big coming up?" And she said, "Oh, we got a vacation. You know, we're going to Mexico for vacation." She's looking forward to getting out and doing all the things that they're going to do together as a family. But what if you had something that you had to wait 800 or 900 years for? They think Joel prophesied at a time when the kingdom was in pretty good shape. It had not been sent into exile probably 800 or 900 years before Christ came. And generation after generation, person after person, living their lives, reading the scripture, wondering when this was going to be fulfilled, and then they would die and the next generation would take place. We see the great desire that the people were waiting for the Messiah. We see it in Luke chapter 2 with Simeon and Anna. It says the Holy Spirit led Simeon to the temple and he got to see the Messiah. He got to see the little baby Jesus before that he died. And he said it was such a blessing. He got to be one of the few people that got to see the fulfillment of this prophecy. We see Anna, she went and grabbed the baby. I see the Ingrams grab the babies from Vandy and Patrick all the time, but I saw Anna go and grab this baby and take it in her arms. And she says, "Finally, this is the Messiah." She had waited a lifetime, and she was finally going to see the fulfillment of that prophecy. This is the day. And we see it in Acts chapter 2. Jesus told the disciples as he's getting toward the end of his ministry, he says, "Hey, I'm going to be going away, but hey, I'm not leaving you alone. The great advocate, the great comforter, he's going to come. He's going to remind you of everything that I said. He's going to be with you. He's going to walk with you. He's going to guide you when things are under stress. He's going to protect you." He kind of, you know, gives them a little tantalizing. It's going to come. It's still coming. And we just read the passage Stacy did in Acts chapter 1. He makes them wait a little bit longer. He says, "Hey, now go to Jerusalem and wait." He says, "You know, John baptized with water. I'm going to completely cover you with the Holy Spirit." And he says, "But when that Holy Spirit comes, there's a catch to it. Now you're going to be my witnesses. Now you got to tell everybody about me." See, I think a lot of times we want the blessing of the Holy Spirit. We want the power of the Holy Spirit, but we don't want the responsibility of the Holy Spirit. Because he tells you now that now you've got to go out and tell everybody all about me. Now that's the catch to it. Now you have the power to do it. We don't have any excuses anymore. You can say, hey, well, you know, I'm not a speaker. I'm not real talented. I think Joe would probably tell you the same thing. He says, nobody knows when I live, nobody knows when I die, but they know the words that God gave me to. Our job is to deliver those words. We are everyday people with God's message to tell those around us. And finally, the day arrives, Acts chapter 2. Peter stands up, and it says there, as tongues of fire came, a great wind came through. They started talking in languages, so all these people from all over the world came in, and they could hear their language. And they says they heard these people say great things about God, and they were confused. How in the world is this possible? Some people kind of made fun of me. Said, well, they've been drinking a little bit too soon in the morning. They've been tipping into the sacramental wine here a little bit, the communion wine. They're a little bit tipsy. And then Peter stands up among the crowd, and he knows, followed by the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, he stands up and he says this, fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. Doesn't that sound like a prophet? These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what is spoken by the prophet Joel. And then he quotes the passage that we just read. He says, this is the day. 800 years, 900 years in the making. This is the day now that the Holy Spirit is available to everyone in this audience. And then he goes on to tell the story of who? Jesus. He says the reason you have the Holy Spirit available is because of Jesus. And he goes through prophecy after prophecy, spins the whole message, and then he comes to the culmination of what the Holy Spirit means in our life. So why is the Holy Spirit so important? Why do we celebrate this day? We could say, well, it's the start of the church. And that is true. This is the day when the New Testament church started. They were worship on Saturday. Now they worship on Sunday. Now they're following Jesus. The rules of the Old Testament have been fulfilled in the life of Jesus. Now we have the law of grace and peace and love. But why is it important to me and you? Because without the Holy Spirit in our lives, without the working of the indwelling gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we are spiritually dead in the eyes of God. We might look like we are alive on the outside, and we might look like we're moving and doing all the things that look important, but hopefully we will answer this morning two questions. And I want you to answer these two questions internally. If you have questions, if you have a hard time answering these two questions, I want to get with you and let's visit together. How does the Holy Spirit come into my life? And when does the Holy Spirit come into my life? And what does it mean when the Holy Spirit does come into our lives? We see it there in Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 17. He says, we are now under new management. He says, until the Holy Spirit comes into your life, you're following whatever desires your body tells you to follow. You know, until I have a little bit of direction, until somebody tells me exactly what to do, I kind of want to do the things that I want to do. He says, now when you become under the Spirit's control, you're under new management. There was a restaurant in town that just kind of had a bad experience, and people would start to kind of whisper about them, and you would avoid those places. But new owners would come in, and what would they put on their marquee? Under new management. I mean, things have changed. Things are different now. And that's what it means when we look at Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 17. It says that we have been adopted by God. He talks about the Roman adoption. What does it mean to be adopted when a Roman adopts you? It means that we have lost all the rights to the old family, the old life that we had, the old desires, the old responsibilities. They have now gone away, and we have a brand new family that we're part of. It's not been quite a year, I don't think, Patrick and Vandy, since you guys legally adopted Johnny. But I went down there for the adoption ceremony down there at the great city of Tuscumbia, Missouri, where the courthouse is down there in Miller County. I think that's the only reason you go down to Tuscumbia is for the courthouse down there. But I went down there for the legal adoption. You had Patrick and Vandy and their family on one side. You had the state on the other. You had the judge up at the front. But there came that time when they said that the parental rights had been given up, and now he has a brand new family. It means the old family has no hold over you anymore. When we step from the flesh into the spirit of the life, it means Satan has no control over us. He cannot own us anymore. He cannot guide us or tempt us in the areas that we don't want to go, because now we have the power of the Holy Spirit living in our lives. It also means that we are an heir to our family's estate. Look what he says there. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. That means you get to share in all the inheritance in the estate of the brand new family. There's no restrictions to it. He tells us earlier that if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body because of his spirit who lives in you. You got a brand new inheritance. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. We get to sit around his table. We get to spend eternity with him. We get to be in the presence of God. No more mourning, no more pain, no more tears. We have brand new bodies. We get the same things that God himself gave to Christ when Christ was risen from the dead. What also does it mean that when we being adopted by God, when the Holy Spirit comes into our life, all the old debts have been canceled and the old life has all been wiped away. Those things that haunt you, those things that you've not told anybody else about, those things that you sure hope nobody else ever finds out, those thought patterns, those images, those experiences you've been part of that nobody else knows, the ones that Satan reminds you, when you start feeling a little bit good about yourself, those things weigh you down. Yes, we participate in that, but God has made you brand new. That old life is gone. When we're adopted by him, he doesn't hold that against us. And then he also tells us that we are a real child of God. We are not a stepson. We don't have an asterisk next to our name saying, well, you know, Jesus is this, but you're this. Babe Ruth held a home run record for many years, 60 home runs. Roger Maris came along in 1961 and broke the record, 61. But they wanted to put an asterisk next to his record. Why? He did it in 162 games, and Babe Ruth did it in 154. And now with the home run record, we got asterisks everywhere. Mark McGwire and Barry Bonds and Sammy Sosa, you got all kinds of things going on there. Who knows who holds the official record? When we're a child of God because of the Holy Spirit in our life, there is no asterisk next to us. We are made by God. I have some Mountain Dew bottles at my house, the old time that had the hillbilly on them, and on the top, on the bottle itself, it has on different ones, filled by so-and-so. And it'll list different names, Ruby and Ed, Harry and Larry, or whatever the case may be. They have specific names and makes it more valuable if certain names are on there. But when we become the child of God because of the Holy Spirit in our life, he puts his name on us, filled by God. And because of the Holy Spirit in our life, we then pursue the interest of your new family and are the interest of God or the interest of us. But the two most important questions that we have about the Holy Spirit for each one of us in this room and for those watching online, how do I get the Holy Spirit in my life? And when does the Holy Spirit come into my life? And like we said, what's so vitally important about that? Romans 8, 9. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. Anytime that I have a tough decision, especially a spiritual decision or a theological decision, I try to see what Scripture has to say. And Paul and Peter tell us, I want you to write down three scriptures and just look over those this week. We see in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, Paul writes this, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. He said, when you heard the gospel, when you believed, like Joel said, when you called on the name of the Lord, you were marked with a seal saying, this is my special possession. I'm coming. I'm not forgetting about you. I've got you up on the shelf. Don't worry. I'm coming back to pick you up. We're going to go to eternity together. When you hear and when you believe. And then when Peter got done with that sermon on Pentecost, talked about Jesus and he talked about Joel's prophecy, he read these verses in Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 39. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. See, that's what our life should be all about, testifying to that. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and his other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, and for whom the Lord our God will call. That includes us. That includes our neighbors. When we hear the message, when we call on the name of the Lord, when we confess His name, He says, when we use the word Abba, Father, He says, we're calling out to Him. He said, Father, You are the one. When we want to change our lives and then we want to follow the example of Christ into baptism, we identify with Him. We answer those two questions. How do I get it? And when does it come into my life? And then I gave you a bonus one. What does it mean when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives? Paul wrote it this way in Galatians 3:27. When you are baptized with Christ, you are clothed with Christ. When you put all those things together, it's us making our decision to make Him number one. And when we do, then we have a responsibility to testify to Him. If you don't know how to answer those two questions, you've got questions about those two questions, man, let's get together. Let's visit about that. We've got some baptisms coming up I'm excited about. People that want to make, you know, say, in my life, if the Holy Spirit's really operating, there's some things kind of affecting the Holy Spirit work, let's get together and pray about that. But let's make sure we answer those two questions so that we know that we have the Spirit of Christ in us so we can make that sign, hang that sign outside of our life that we are under new management.